All right, just past 4 o'clock on this lovely July Monday, which means it's time for me to welcome my regular guest. Chris Carey volunteers his time to select and research our classic picks each week and then comes in to share his findings. I am absolutely delighted that this week he chose a record by Donny Hathaway. Thanks so much, Chris.
Yeah, so this week we're looking at Donny Hathaway's debut. Everything Is Everything came out 49 years ago this month. Donny Hathaway, he could have been a lot bigger than he was if a few things didn't happen in his life. But he was born in Chicago, but was raised in St. Louis. He's one of a number of amazing artists that came out of St. Louis: Chuck Berry and Scott Joplin, Ike and Tina Turner, Josephine Baker, T-Bone Burnett, Sheryl Crow. I didn't know came from St. Louis.
Oh, your favorite.
Oh, she's my favorite. and Pokey LaFarge, who's new to the music scene, but I know we play him on KXCI. But yeah, there's St. Louis has a long history of great acts coming out of it, and Donny Hathaway is one of the biggest. He grew up with his grandmother, Martha Pitts, who was a professional gospel singer. He started playing piano at the age of 3.
Jeez.
And then he had a short career as a gospel singer himself under the name Donny Pitts, and he did that kind of in junior high and high school, and then he got a full ride to Howard University in D.C. for music. And while he was there, he studied for several years, and he left his senior year because he made so many contacts in the music industry and he wanted to pursue music. He moved back to Chicago, where he was born, and he worked as a songwriter, arranger, session musician for both Chess Records and Kurtom Records. And Kurtom Records was Curtis Mayfield's label. And he also did a lot of production while on that label for Curtis Mayfield's different bands that included like staple singers, Jerry Butler, Aretha Franklin. He worked with the Impressions. And so he had a lot of experience and was already super well respected just on his abilities, you know, in the studio and musically. Like, he was an amazing piano player. And like, as you listen to these songs this week, like, if you just listen to the keyboards themselves, they're kind of amazing, amazing pieces. Although the funny thing was, and I'm still curious of this, and I couldn't find why, he didn't actually get signed to Kurtom Records. King Curtis, who's a famous producer and saxophone player, he saw him and got him signed to Atlantic Records in 69. And back in the late 60s, there were basically just, for the most part, there were three big soul labels. It was Atlantic, Motown, and Stax. And so you were on one of those three labels if you were doing anything in the soul world. And so they went right to the studio, and they recorded from late 69 through early 70. So they took quite a bit of time in the studio for being a new artist.
Interesting.
But I think it's because he had enough points on his CV that people respected him and gave him time and didn't try to do things on the cheap. He actually asked Rick Powell, who was an old chum that he had while he went to Howard University, who he was actually in it was called the Rick Powell Trio. He was in a jazz band with him in college. He also met Roberta Flack in college, who he ended up doing a lot of work with later. So he produced the record with his friend Rick Powell, and they when that came out, I mean, it was pretty well received by the critics at the time, and it was commercially pretty successful, but it wasn't like smash runaway hit. It did chart 33 on the Billboard albums chart and 73 in the top 200 album chart, but it really didn't have any big hits. The two singles were The Ghetto, which we're going to play later today, and Everything Is Everything, the title track. He wrote or co-wrote almost all the songs on the record. There were a couple of covers. There's a Ray Charles cover and a Nina Simone cover, which is pretty cool. But yeah, the thing was about this album is at first, all the critics loved it from the get-go. And over time, the status of this album has kind of grown. A lot of, you know, critics even call it genius. And what's interesting is, I thought it was, this is something I think that says a lot. So Jerry Wexler, who was one of the people who helped form Atlantic Records, he's the guy who actually coined the term rhythm and blues. He was the guy who signed Ray Charles and Aretha Franklin and Led Zeppelin and so many other acts. I think Janis Joplin too, Bob Dylan as well. And he was quoted as saying, "I used to think we had two geniuses on Atlantic, Aretha Franklin and Ray Charles. But when Donny Hathaway signed, I announced at one and all that I think we found a third genius." So this guy, who was incredibly well-respected in the industry, put him on the same level as Aretha Franklin and Ray Charles as far as ability. And
did Aretha have any role in his career? I feel like I read something about her kind of being a confidant or advisor.
I mean, not so directly on anything. And they may have had a relationship. And I know he did a little bit of engineering work, I believe, on one or two of her records early on. But mostly his big compatriot within the arts world at the time and throughout most of his career was Roberta Flack,
who became very good. Okay, and that makes sense.
Yeah, he became really good friends with her while they were in college. They both went to Howard together. After this album was released in 70, he released another self-titled record, which was a sophomore release, came out in 71. And then in 72, he recorded the first of two albums that he did with Roberta Flack. And then, so these two albums were pretty good hits, and he was starting to get a lot of attention. He branched out. He did a couple of albums, one with Roberta Flack, and then he branched out. He actually did a movie score for a show called Come Back Charleston Blue, which I don't think I've ever seen that movie, but I thought it was really cool that he arranged and recorded the theme song for Maude, the TV series.
Oh, I didn't know that. I love Maude. How did I not know that?
I thought that was pretty cool too. And so when everything was looking great for him and he was just starting to really take off, he started suffering from bouts of severe depression that were like really debilitating, so much that he actually got hospital a few times and then was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. So he went from kind of on top of the world to really having a hard time, and for several years he didn't do much of anything. You know, his up and down mood swings kind of strained his relationship with different artists, you know, understandably. And then he kind of got a little bit better and released a single with Roberta Flack again. And while they were working on their second album in 1970, I believe it was in 78, while they were working on this record, one night he jumped out of the 15-story window where he was living and died.
It's so heartbreaking.
Yeah, he was only 33.
Ugh. Yeah.
But what he had was, you know, what he's put out there is amazing. And the song actually that we were going to do today, The Ghetto, what I like about this is he's kind of all over the place on this album, but somehow it's cohesive. I mean, there's songs that are very, have a lot of jazz in them, and a lot of songs that have gospel influences. And then this one reminds me the most of what was going on, kind of what Curtis Mayfield was doing at the same time. And one might think that he was emulating Curtis Mayfield, but this was totally contemporaneous.
Parallel.
Yeah, this album came out the same year as Curtis Mayfield's solo album. And so this was kind of the hallmark of where, you know, R&B and soul was going for the 70s, and it's been influencing things ever since. I mean, I know there's you can hear elements of what became R&B in the 80s and even the 90s in what's going on here. And then this album influenced a lot of people who like early on hip hop stuff. And
absolutely,
this particular song we're playing today has been sampled by numerous hip hop guys.
Yes, I'm talking with Chris Carey about our classic pick of the week. Donny Hathaway's "Everything Is Everything" came out right around this time, back in 1970. It is our classic pick. Anything else to add before we get into your first?
Nah, just the Latin rhythms and the keyboards in this thing are awesome. This is a great song.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Chris.
Yep.